be in this world. Amen. Isn't God good? He is faithful. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So good to see you today. I want to welcome Josh and Kendra, Silas and Zelda from Fayetteville, North Carolina, our son and daughter-in-law, being here today. This week was our week of family vacation, and Jordan is still here. Jordan and Maddox and Bailey, they're still here with us. Tim had to go back to North Carolina on Friday, take care of some business there. But Josh hadn't been here with us. Josh and Kendra, it's been about 2 years, I guess. So they were here with us on our family vacation last year, that was during some little challenging times, and so it created a few kinks in the thing, but we still had a vacation last year, kind of delayed, 1 week with one family, 1 week with the other family. But thank God we were able to take vacation this year and stay together. They said, Dad, we could take vacation on St. Simon's if you'll promise not to work very much. I said, I could do that. Anyway, I'm learning still. I'm still learning. So it's an honor to have y'all here with us. Wendy, all the way from Texas, the big state of Texas, here with us today. Amen. We all know Wendy. She served on staff here for a year with us in 2020. Through all the fun times, she was right here in the middle of it. So glad to have you home with us, Wendy. Pray God's blessings on you. And thank God for all that He is doing today through your life and through all of your lives. And pray God's blessings on you today. We're excited about what God's doing. Everything that you're facing is no surprise for God. There's not anything that you're facing that takes God by surprise. And I believe that God's got a word for you today to encourage you and to bless you today. Be sure to pick up your bulletin. There's a lot of information there. One piece of information is about a prayer, Coastal Georgia Renewal, that time of prayer each Thursday night, different locations throughout the community. We also have prayer here on Monday nights right here in the sanctuary at 6:30, prayer 517. It's in this building, but down at the end of the hallway. Thank you, Miss Nancy. Down at the end of the hallway, time of prayer there on Monday night, 6:30 right here. We believe in prayer. Amen? Praise God. And God speaks to us through the time of prayer. It's not just one way. He wants to speak to us as well. We'll talk more about that. But be sure to pick up your bulletin. There's a lot of information there, a call to action. Also, next Sunday, can you believe next Sunday is the 4th of July? So next Sunday afternoon at 6 o'clock, we've been having a bonfire and cookout every month about 4 o'clock. But next Sunday, it'll be at 6 o'clock. Make note of that. There's a sign-up sheet on the back so we'll know how many hamburgers and hot dogs that we'll need beyond what I'll be eating myself. So you want to make sure that you have enough to eat. Y'all didn't laugh. Okay, I feel better. I don't think you're listening when you don't laugh at my funny jokes. But next Sunday, 6 o'clock, and we'll also have some fireworks. So Elder Andy's going to get out there and see what kind of explosives he can cook up. That was a joke, too. About dark next Sunday. So anyway, there's a lot of information here in the bulletin. You'll want to read through it. We want you connected with us. And if there's anything I can do for you, the office knows how to get in touch with me. And I think they even have my cell number listed back there. So we're here for you. We don't just say it. We want to be there for you. Amen? We're all family. And so if you're here for your first time today, know that you're now family. The same blood in your veins is in my veins. We're brothers and sisters. And you can't pick and choose family. We're family. God made all of us and put us here together to serve Him. And what an honor to do that. Amen. Today we'll dive into the Word of God. I believe that God has spoken to me a word to encourage you and to just to speak life into you. Many times we have confidence in different things. We have confidence in our job. We have confidence in material things, possessions. We have confidence in people. They've never let me down, so I'm going to have confidence in them. There's nothing wrong with everything that I've just named, but our confidence must first be in God. And so for these next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about that. Our focus scripture is found in Philippians 1:6, which is where I picked up the title from. It's a brilliant title. The first two words of this verse is what? Being confident. Being confident. Being confident of this very thing, that he, speaking of Jesus Christ, who has begun a good work, that he didn't just say work. He said begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your word. It's nutrition for our bodies, for our spiritual body, Lord, to grow us, to mature us. Pray, God, that it'll stick to our ribs today. Help us to grow. Draw closer to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. The other day we received a piece of mail. If you're like we are, you get a lot of mail each day, and there's not much of that that's any good. You read through it and see what you can toss and see what you can keep and see what you've got to tend to later. But this one piece of mail, I thought it was interesting. If I called the financial institution, you would know who it was. I think they've been in business since 1870 or something like that. So this particular company sent a piece of mail, and they're trying to drum up business. And on the front of it, it says, invest with confidence. And I thought, you know, God, you've been speaking about confidence in me and what I need to share with the church family. And this company is saying invest with confidence, and many times because of their track record, because of the number of years they've been in business, for their reputation, and for their image that they have paid lots of money to set out in the public eye, people will take confidence in that company, and they'll get a lot of response from this one piece of mail that they've sent out to probably most of America. But how much confidence do we have in God and God's ability? God has been around for a long time, even beyond 1870. He's been since the beginning of time, since before the beginning of time. He's got a good reputation. He's never failed. He's always faithful. He takes care of those who entrust their life with. So all of these things, but how is our confidence different in God versus a major financial institution who's around the world that sends us a piece of mail drumming up business? So I want to talk about that. Our confidence, the Webster defines it as this: faith or belief that one will act in a right, proper, or effective way. And so being confident in God, true confidence in God, the same confidence as you would have if you were to meet with one of the professionals in this brochure that I got the other day, the same confidence, just that much confidence, how would our faith and our trust be in God today? Would we have faith or belief that God will act right and proper in an effective way? So our confidence in God is our ability to believe for an answer even when it seems impossible. Because many times our situations that we run across in life are completely impossible to us. They're beyond our ability to do anything about it. And so what do? We worry and we fret and we concern ourselves rather than having confidence in God to do exactly what he says that he will do. He's never failed. He's never told a story. He's never gone back on a promise. He's never done these things. But yet we find a tough time having confidence in God and his ability. Confidence in God doesn't say, well, I hope everything will work out okay. We're having confidence in hoping that thing will work out. It's a lack of confidence in God, because we should know that our confidence is in God, that it will work out okay. We've had a lot of good experiences this week. We have had some great time with the children. Maybe not quite as much rest as usual, but it's worth it. And so yesterday, we got in the pool and got the children out of the pool and was jumping around. And Bailey said something about, I hope I can do that. And they're all trying to learn how to swim. And even little Bub, he's trying to learn how to swim and kicking his, hey, buddy, he's waving. Kick their legs and their arms and trying to learn how to swim. So Bailey says, I hope I can do that, Mommy. She says, Bailey, hold on, come here, look at me. She says, you can do that. And so that's the way it is with our walk with God. We need to know that we can see things beyond okay. We can have so much confidence in God. I love what Elder Denny says when he goes to the doctor. He'll just point blank ask somebody, are you going to heaven? And many times the reply is, well, I hope so. And his reply is, you can know so. So our confidence in God means that we're all in, that we know that God will do what he says he will do. When he come to save you, that means he came to save you. That means that you are saved. When he comes to protect you, you know that you are protected. You don't have to hope everything will be okay. Well, what about this and what about that? What about the circumstances in life? What about all these things? We can have confidence in God to know that he will protect you. And so today we're going to look into two scriptures. Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. And this is what those two verses say. It's what it says to us today. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. It's interesting that in verse 2 it says, I will say. I will say, what do we say? What do you say? What is our speech like? What do we... A lot of times you can tell by a person's confidence in what they say. I hope everything will be okay. There's not much confidence. There's a little bit, but there's not full confidence that everything is, no matter what I face, that everything will be okay. Everything's good because God's got it. I say, do we know that we can undo what we do in prayer by what we say? We can pray, we can fast, we can pray, we can believe, have faith in God, and lo and behold, 30 minutes later, what we say can undo what we just prayed. Because in prayer and our time with God, our faith is built. We feel like we can jump over a wall, we can run through a troop. God builds that faith in us as we spend time with him. And then when we take time out to do the things we've got to do, rather than staying in that mind of faith and that heart of faith, we learn to trust in our own abilities and our own circumstances and all the things going around us. That takes precedence over our time with God. And then our focus then changes from hope in God and faith in God to, I hope it's going to be okay. What we speak. Proverbs 18:21, just make a note, don't have it in the back, but Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death lie in our tongue. Lie in our tongue. My grandmother, many years ago, as I was a young boy, my grandma would always say how old she was. I mean, I was a little boy, and she had to have been probably in her 50s or 60s, but she always said how old she was and how sick she was. Here he goes. And she lived. Now, he's fine, baby. He ain't bothering me. And she lived her life in a state and a mental place of sickness. She was sick. She was old. And so everything that she did was as though she was 130 years old. Because she always said that. She spoke that. And nothing against her. I love my meemaw. And she loved God. But many times what we're dealing with in life and our attitude toward God is really coming about by what we're saying or a lack of what we're saying. What we should speak is what's in the Word of God and not what we think, not, you know. Back in the 80s, they called that, what, blab it and grab it or something, I don't know what. But really, as we speak the Word of God and have faith in the Word of God, we can have what he says we can have. First and foremost is confidence in God through our relationship with him. That's first. That's the first thing. So what we speak is important. What we say. What we say, we hear. And what we hear is what develops the faith in us. Faith comes by hearing. So the first thing you hear is what you say. What I'm saying right now, you're hearing it, but I'm also hearing it. And so the words I'm speaking is affecting me, whether I have confidence in God or whether I have unbelief in God. And so what I say comes from my heart. I can say the word of God, which will build my confidence and my faith in God, or what I say can tear me down and draw me away from God. It's important what you say to yourself, what you hear yourself say, and what I hear myself say. And there are four names of God. What's important about names? We know that throughout the Bible, everybody is given a name, and there's a definition, there's a purpose for every name. Now, we go to the Bible and we pick names for our children. Other times, it's whatever's the most popular. We go to a book and we go to a store. That's a popular name. I like that name. Let's give our baby that name. But in the Bible, there are names that have meaning. God has names that have meaning. So today, in building our confidence with God, there are four names in these two verses that I want us to look at that I believe that as we see the meanings of those names, we'll see who God is and what God does through each one of these four names. And names are important. Psalm 124:8 says, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth." Psalm 91:14 says, "Because he," speaking of you and I, "because he has set his love upon me," that's speaking of God, capital M, "set our love upon God, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name." The known here is more than just knowing what the name is. I may know what your name is, but knowing you, there's a different context to me knowing your name, right? So I may know your name, but there's a difference in knowing who you are. He's saying here, as we know his name, he brings protection to our life. He builds our confidence in him as we draw closer. How do we get closer together? It's because of time spent that we know each other. We gather around the bonfire and talk and have fun and learn different. I mean, I've learned a lot about you around the bonfire, what you do and the things that you like and those things. It helps me know you better. It helps you know me better. And we know, besides living and sleeping and getting up and doing it again the next day, there are things about you that's unique that I want to know, that we get to know each other, right? And so as we spend time with God, we know who God is beyond just, well, he's God. Be quiet. Don't offend him. There's an intimate relationship there that we enter into with God. And as we know him, as we know his name, God says he protects us and builds confidence in us to him when we know the name of God. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." God surrounds us with refuge and strength, protects us as a strong tower. So in the first verse, Psalm 91:1, he says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High." Notice those are capital letters, Most High. Well, why aren't the others capital letters? Because Most High is a name of God. God is the Most High. Well, if he's the Most High, that means he has the final word. There's no other word that supersedes the word of God, because he is the Most High. There's no one higher than him. There's no circumstance beyond him. He is the Most High. He's God of the impossible. He's God of what looks like there's no way, there's no answer to this thing. God is the Most High. He is God above everything and above all things. This word is translated from the Hebrew word Elyon, E-L-Y-O-N, Elyon, which means translated into a word that we know, Most High. God is the Most High. He's the highest. He's the exalted one. He's the God over everything, over every circumstance. You say, well, why do people starve to death? Why does this happen? Why did that building in Miami collapse? Why this and why that? There are things that we don't understand why. But some things that happen have happened under the guidance of man rather than the guidance of God. Right? So if I get in my car in a little while and I pull out of this driveway and I say, I want to find out how fast this car will run, so I'm going to lay the hammer down and I'm going to speed through here. Number one, there's probably going to be a cop sitting on the curve, because anytime that happens, that's what happens. He's sitting on the curve just waiting with a camera, waiting for me. And they do it for my protection. See, we don't want him to kill himself. Don't take that corner on two wheels. Slow it down. And then secondly, if I take matters into my own hands and I do that myself, God has not guided me. He didn't say, Mike, get in that car and see how fast it'll go. If it registers 160, see if it'll do 165. God didn't tell me to do that. I've taken that upon myself. So you see that there are things that may happen in the direction of man that God does not cause to happen. And so some things, now my mom, when she died at the age of 35 years old in her sleep, that Thursday she was hurting in her back, but that night she went to bed, she went to heaven in her sleep. You say, well, why did God allow that to happen? I don't believe that God made that happen, but God has brought good out of that situation. So how can you stand there and say that? Because I see the fruit after all these years. I was 13 years old and I'm 54 years old. Out of all these years, God has brought fruit out of that little curve that we took in life. And that's a whole other thing for another Sunday. But my point is that God is most high, and he uses even the things beyond God doesn't control that thing, but God will cause those things to work out for good. It did not take God by surprise that my mom died at age 35, although he didn't cause that. He allowed it. But God did promise to bring good out of that, and he has brought good out of that. Amen? So by age 14, I met this little redhead that I wouldn't have met otherwise. So we wouldn't have Josh and Kendra and Jordan and Tim and Silas and Zelda, Bailey and Maddox. We wouldn't have all you spiritual youngins in our life. We wouldn't be here. I mean, you can see that one turn in your life, even though it's devastating, believe me, it was devastating. It was tough. When my dad met a girl and married her 4 months later, which threw another little curve in things. You see? So we can't go back and change those things, but we can say, God, my confidence is in you, and I know that you'll cause this to work out. God is God over everything. That's my point. He is more powerful than everything. There is no other power that's greater than God. God is the Most High. So your situation is not more powerful than God. You may sense that it is. You may feel that it is. You know, a lot of times we say, I don't feel good about this. And so we base our life then and our decisions on, I don't feel good about this. Why not have confidence in God, whether we feel good about this or we don't feel good about this? Face things head on and say, God, I know that I'm operating in your strength and your ability. I know that you're going to cause this thing to work out for good. See, so you can see the confidence in God versus the confidence in how I feel or my circumstances. We can miss God altogether if we base our life on feelings. God is the Most High. We see that as his name. When we go to God, we go to the top. There's no topper than God. God is the highest. He's the Most High. And we're instructed here to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We're to dwell in the presence of God. Does that mean for an hour and a half on Sunday? It includes that. But all the other hours of every other day, we can dwell in the presence of God. When you're talking to people, when you're on the phone, when you're in this meeting or that meeting, when you're at a restaurant and not getting good service, you're dwelling in the presence of God. And our reaction to that is different than when it is that we're not dwelling in the presence of God. In troubled times and in peaceful times. In the first verse, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, look at the second name, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Notice capital A. That's another name of God, Almighty. Wow. Almighty, that means he can do anything. Almighty, he was more powerful. He is greater. That comes from the Hebrew word Shaddai. We knew El Shaddai, which is God Almighty, but Almighty is Shaddai, used 48 times in the Old Testament. God is Almighty. Also known in this time of the Old Testament as the Mountain One. Didn't say the Mountain Man, the Mountain One. So they, when they saw a mountain, it was big, it was great. No matter how much they pushed against that mountain, it wouldn't move. So they called God the Mountain One because it was unchanging, it was immovable, it was mighty, it was all powerful, it was dependable. They could build a house on a mountain. Foundations, go to the rock, go to the core of the mountain, and it didn't change the consistency of that mountain. And so he was known as the Mountain One, Almighty, because he doesn't change. He's immovable. There are no circumstances that comes across God's path that will change him and make him any less almighty. He is almighty. He is almighty. He's solid. He is the one. And we see this word almighty in Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 and 2, when he says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. See, Abraham wanted to have children. He wanted to have descendants. He wanted to have more and to please God. And so Almighty God, he says, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. So Almighty multiplies. God is not the God of division. Right? He doesn't divide. He doesn't confuse. If there's division, if there's confusion, if there's a tearing down, it is not of God. We see right here that and all throughout the Word of God, God came, Almighty God came to multiply, not to just multiply. I love the extra words that he gives us here. He's going to multiply Abraham exceedingly. He's going to multiply. That's a word that Abraham knew. That's a word that we know. Multiply is good, but he's going to multiply exceedingly. In other words, even beyond what you could ever ask or think. That's God's multiplication. He's Almighty God. Multiply exceedingly is the word of God. But it comes through, as you see here, it comes through covenant between us and God to us. That's the foundation. That's the very root of everything that God will do in your life. It's through our relationship with him. So let's not get confused and say, well, if I can get close to God just for what he can do for me and multiply me exceedingly. No, we miss the whole point. The fruit comes after the roots are established. And so we can't expect an apple tree. I'll go to the store, go to Ace Hardware, I'm going to get an apple tree, and I'm going to drop it on the concrete, and I'm going to come back tomorrow afternoon and say, where's my apples? There's no root. There's no roots there. So the roots then are established over time, requires patience, diligence, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, self-control, all those things. It's required to go into that apple tree, establishing its roots. And lo and behold, an apple forms. Small, but it forms. And eventually forms one that we can slice open and enjoy. So the fruit then comes out of establishing the root system first. So is our relationship with God. Everything I'm talking about today, the names of God, everything that God wants to provide for you and for me and to do in our life, it all is established by us placing roots into God's kingdom. Roots into who he is. As I read a while ago, we know God, not just know who he is or know about him. Yeah, I've heard of God before. Anybody ever said, so-and-so said they knew you. Do you know them? I'm not sure. Sounds familiar, but I don't really know them. I've not spent time with them. I don't know what they like to do. I don't know where they work. I don't know if they're married or single. I mean, so there's a difference between knowing who someone is and knowing who they are. And so that knowing through God and that covenant relationship with God, God says that he will multiply exceedingly. Multiply exceedingly. He is the God Almighty. Now what happens sometimes, we can trust God and have confidence in God real easily when it comes to something grand. God made the flowers and the trees and the dirt, and so that is so much more beyond what my little need in my life. I mean, my need is big, but my need's not so big that I've got to have trees and grass pop up in the next few minutes, right? So we have confidence in God for a more general grand. We can believe that God did that, but I don't think God could do this in my life. You see what I'm saying? You see the difference? That we can sometimes trust God and have confidence in God, that God can create the ocean. And every pebble of sand on that ocean floor, God knows every single one. And there are many more of those than there are stars in the sky, and God knows every one of the stars. And they all work in conjunction with each other. The flood, the tide is high and the tide is low. And so all those things God coordinates, and we somehow get used to those things because they happen every day and we become numb to those things. But in all actuality, the same God that put all those things into place is the same God that will work the miracle in your life. Think about it. We could think that God can control all those things, but yet somehow he cannot supply my need. God is God Almighty. And not only can he supply your need, but he can get real personal with you and he can supply that very need that you need. Right? He's God Almighty. Paul said that he counts things as not as though they were in Romans 4:17. Why? Because his confidence is in God to bring those things about. God says, yes, those things will happen. The Most High, the Almighty. And in Psalm 91:2, it says, I will say of the Lord. What does the Lord mean? Lord is taken from the word, Hebrew word, Yahweh. Well, we know, we sing Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh. And so over the years, 70s and 80s especially, we learned that word Yahweh. Yahweh was real popular, and it's a name of God. But Yahweh is translated into our English word, Lord. He is Lord. He's Lord of all. We were singing it a while ago. He is Lord of all. Lord of all things. Lord is used over 6,800 times in the Old Testament. Also known as the Holy Name. I learned that when scholars were writing the Old Testament, when they were writing the scrolls, they would go bathe before they wrote Yahweh. And after they wrote the name Yahweh, they went back and bathed again and came back to the scrolls. They wanted to make sure that they were clean. And so they went through the process of making sure that there was no blemish on them, that they were completely clean. Well, Lord is... There's an honor for God. Many times we miss altogether because we get so used to God that there's, you know, when you go to a foreign country and call someone Lord, they're on a high pedestal. And so there's a level of honor for that Lord. Well, God is not calling us to honor him or to respect him or demanding that we do this or that before him. But there is a level of sincerity from our heart to God that we worship him and we realize who he is and how great and awesome he is, which causes us then to draw closer to him and to be receptive of all that he is. Does that make sense? Lord, holy name. It means eternal, ever-existing, covenant-keeping God. He's Lord. Also, in the New Testament, Jesus says, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the living water that will quench your thirst. You'll never thirst again. I am here to save, to heal, and deliver you. I will save the Lord, Yahweh, the one who keeps his word, the one who keeps his promises. It's not just a title. It's not just a name. That's the meaning of the very word, to do what he said he will do. Most High, Almighty, Lord. I will save the Lord. He is my refuge and my fortress. Verse 2 of Psalm 91, my God, in him I will trust. Fourth name, God. God. It's taken from the Hebrew word Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M. God, the name God is translated from Elohim, which is strength and power. Strength and power. We were talking about Elijah just a few weeks ago and the strength that God put in Elijah as Elijah heard from God and heard his voice. So the same strength and power God wants to transfer to you for you to be more than a conqueror in that situation that you're facing. Your situation could be sickness, yes, but it could be something that you can't touch. It could be anxiety. It could be fear. It could be trouble. It could be you have doubt about God doing something in your life. So it may be something tangible. It may be something intangible. But God, by his name, by his character, by who he is, gives us the strength and the power to overcome that thing in your life. Everything, anything, used over 2,000 times in the Hebrew Bible. And we see the word God, Elohim, we see that in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, strength and power. Well, what did God do? We see in that verse what God did. In the beginning, God created, not cleaned up or organized. It wasn't something that was already there. He didn't refurbish. It doesn't say in the beginning God refurbished. God organized. God cleaned up. It doesn't say that. God created. That takes strength. That takes power. That takes the ability of only God. There's no other God like God. Capital G, strength and power, Elohim. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Everything around us, above us, below us, everything in between. Everything that holds this thing together. Even the speed that we're spinning right now. If this thing were to stop, we'd be dizzy-headed. We don't know that we're flying right now. Our feet's on the ground, but we're spinning. I mean, I don't know how fast we are. We're fast. 1,040 miles an hour. Look at that. What's 160 miles an hour on top of that? I mean, goodness. 1,040 miles. Did you say 1,040? 1040. Wow. God created the heavens and the earth. God created everything. The things that we see and the things we cannot see. All the organs that are in your body right now, our eye, just that little ball that causes me to see you right now, the technical things that goes on there, just in that one organ, much less everything else in us, the things we don't see, God is God of those things. It says he created the heavens and the earth. God spoke it into existence. He didn't have 18-wheelers come in and bring this and bring that and bring the rocks and the dirt and say, okay, put this in place and we'll call this mountain. No, he took something out of, he didn't even have anything to work with. He just spoke it. It was just God. God said, do this and do that. And from the very word that he spoke, it all came into existence. God can take something in your life and make it out of nothing. God can cause that impossible situation in your life. He can cause it to happen without your help. All we've got to do is have confidence in him that he's going to do it. What do you need today? What do you want today? What does your heart desire? Now, God's not going to bring anything in your life that will take you away from Him. God's not a part of that. He's going to bring you to a place to where you need Him, that He'll cause that impossible situation to be fulfilled so that you draw closer to Him, so that you know where your strength comes from, so that you can rely on Him, so the next step level of faith in God that you need, you can say, God, I know You did that, and now I know You can do this. So that's the God that we serve, that can do anything, can do everything, and cause everything to happen out of nothing. That makes no sense. But God is a God to do those things. He speaks it, and it is. It's not good enough for God just to say, okay, I'm going to put flowers out there. Now, Miss Edith probably knows every flower there is known to man. She knows all these flowers in this thing. I couldn't tell you one from the other. I do know that I love the colors. I love the variety. And so it wasn't good enough for God to say, okay, I'm going to have flowers, so I'm just going to give them some roses. No, He's got to do all this. He gives some color and some variety, and that one might need that, and that might need the other. She gave us a flower some time back, and you have to stand on one leg and close one eye and water it a third of an ounce every 4 weeks, you know, kind of a thing. I don't know what you have to do to make this thing grow. But she does, and she knows what a green thumb is. God gave us a variety of all things, and that's just the flowers. What about us? Makes us all different. Opposites attract. So God brings variety. God, He creates. He's a creator. You see? And so our confidence in God is not saying, okay, God, if You can cause this little thing to fit, are You kidding me? Cause this little thing to fit. God can make anything happen. He can make something fit that doesn't belong together. Yes, He can put a square peg in a round hole if He wants to. God can do anything. He makes the sky look differently at night than it does at day. And then the sun sets every afternoon and it looks different every afternoon. We sit out and say, I mean, we never get tired of the sunset. We never get tired of the sunrise because it's beautiful. It lights up the sky, the purple, the blue, the yellow, the orange, the red, how could God do this? And how much more does He love you to do that very thing in your life, to bring about things that seem impossible, to make it happen, and not to just happen, but make it happen with flair and beauty and color? Come on. That's the God we serve. That's the confidence in God that I'm talking about. That He can do anything. If He takes the time to do all these things in our life just to make life good for us, He didn't do it for anybody else. There's nobody else coming to this party. He did all this for you and me. And so if He can do all that, takes the time to do that, even though He spoke it, then He can take care of what you need in your life today too. But it requires our confidence in Him. Genesis 1:31 says, then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. God created everything out of nothing. Our confidence must be in God. Not to look to this place and to that place and to research that and then learn how it works. And we try to put God in a box. Well, you know what? When the moon is going to be full and it turns red, that's when things are going to happen. And I'm not taking away from things that God's got planned. All I'm saying is, bottom line, we just need to have confidence in God. If we took the same time to have confidence in God that we put into everything else that we're trying to learn. Confidence in God. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Don't you to say that. In Him I will trust. Say it again. In Him I will trust. Say it again. In Him I will trust. The closer we get to God, the more confidence we have in Him. Because we're not blinded then by the things of the world. We're not blinded by the impossible situations. We draw closer to God, and the more He speaks to us, and a smile comes to our face, and our ears light up, and say, wow, God, you can actually do this. You can do this. You can cause this thing to work about. God wants to bless you. God wants to prosper you. But it all is founded in our relationship with God. He wants to cause you to be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Oh. Just days before her son was born, doctors told a young mother that the child had life-threatening heart defects. Delicate surgery was necessary to correct the flaws detected in the tiny organ of this baby's heart. Without intervention, the baby would not survive more than a few hours. A surgical team was scheduled to be on hand the next day when labor was induced. When the little boy was delivered, however, the attending physician decided to postpone the operation. As the surgeons stood by, the baby's heart grew stronger with each beat. The obstetrician studied the situation intensely before dismissing the team. In one hand, she held the records from the previous day's test, and in the other, she grasped the lengthening tape being generated by the instruments attached to the newborn's body. Finally, turning hesitantly toward the young mother, the doctor declared, "I do not know what happened, but this child has a new heart." God can do anything. God can do anything. So I want to encourage you today to have confidence in God to do anything in your life. Anything in your life. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Get ready to worship. I'm going to ask Crawford, if you will, come stand with me here, Crawford. The Bible says this in James. I'm going to ask the elders to come stand right here with us as well. James 5, 13 and 14 says this: "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." The reason I've called Crawford up this morning, I love Crawford. I love you, man. And I'm glad you're here with us. So the doctors have decided they need to perform surgery. And his surgery is scheduled for the 30th, Wednesday. We're not sure of the time yet. And so because of the procedure, what's going to happen with Crawford on Wednesday, he's not allowed to do anything for the next month. For 30 days, he's got to rest. He's got to let this thing heal up. And it's going to be a very involved surgery, a very, very involved procedure. And so Crawford's going to be resting and doing his best to do that, something I've learned to do a little bit this week, but even to a greater extent, to recuperate from the surgery. And so I asked Crawford if he would allow us to pray. He said, "Please, please pray, please pray." And so I want us to, as you stretch forth your hands this morning, I want us to pray for Crawford that this procedure that will happen on Wednesday, and then he'll be out for the next 30 days, and we may not see Crawford much in the next 30 days for the month of July. Be back with us in August. But as God does this thing through the hands of the doctors, that we know that God is going to bring healing to Crawford's body. Why? Because we have confidence in God. And God can use doctors. He can use medication. He can use whatever means he decides to use. And he can administer healing into Crawford's body. And so that's what we're praying for and believing for today, is for God to bring healing in Crawford's body. God has much more to do in Crawford than what he's done so far. Crawford scratched the surface, and there's more to do. And so I just see this Crawford as just a 100,000-mile oil change, just a tune-up, and you're going to come back stronger than ever. And God's going to do some things through your life that you never thought he'd do. He's going to cause Crawford to minister to some doctors and nurses in the hospital that he'd never met before. They've heard of Crawford. Crawford's been here for a long time. He and I have... we go way back. And God's done some great things. God's going to do some more things. We've got to have confidence in God to do this. So as we anoint Crawford this morning in prayer, and I believe that we're all in one mind, one accord for Crawford's healing. Amen? So that's what we're going to pray and believe for. And God's going to do that. And as we, after we pray for Crawford, I believe there are some of you that need the same prayer. And I'm going to ask you to be prepared to come stand right here at the front with us, and we're going to do the same thing. Me and the elders are going to walk, and we're going to pray for each one of you and believe and have confidence in God to do what he's about to do in Crawford's life. Amen? So, Father, we anoint Crawford right now in Jesus' name. We thank you for his life. And, God, we know nothing is impossible with you. Thank you for the doctors and the nurses, for the facilities, for the even the medication, Lord, the prescriptions. And, God, thank you that your hand is upon Crawford. And God, what you have started, that good work that you started in him, Lord, you're going to see it to completion. And God, this is just one avenue, Lord, that you're going to bring glory to you, how great and how mighty and how awesome you are. So, Father, we stand here asking for complete healing of Crawford's body, head to toe, inside and out. We thank you, Lord, that the doctors have recognized what needs to happen. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, that through their hands, you're operating on Crawford. You're directing everything that's said and done. You're directing even the conversation during the procedure. You're blessing and anointing those doctors and nurses, Lord, as they do what they know to do, as they've gone to school to do what they're doing this Wednesday. But, Lord, beyond that, we know that you're in control. And we thank you, Father. Bless Crawford in every way. Bless Tammy. Bless everything connected to Crawford's life. Lord, I thank you that you supply every need. Even while he's unable to work like he's used to working, Father, you're supplying every need exceedingly, abundantly more than Crawford can ask or think. You're multiplying exceedingly. That you bless his business, his employees, everything and every person connected to Crawford's life. We thank you that it's blessed because you're in the middle of it. You're in the center of it. Thank you for Crawford, for blessing him. In Jesus' name we pray. Give God a hand clap of praise this morning. So if that's you this morning, let's all stand together. Let's stand together this morning.